I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We've got the skinny on holiday travel, the worst times to hit the road, and what things are looking like at the airport. Like, I saw this story the other day, and we're going to get the airport spokesperson Nancy Vollmer on the phone in a moment, Dave, that the airport only has like 20,000 parking spots. I think there's going to be a lot of people vying for like the one spot that's left.
I know, and what's the magic number? What's it going to look like?
It's going to be a lot more once it's done out there, once the construction's done. But for right now...
Yeah, it's got to be.
I drove through the airport a couple of weeks ago, and as I was driving up to the terminal, I saw all of these cars parked along the curb just away from the terminal on the road going into the airport. And I thought, that's weird. Are they allowed to do that? Because security keeps moving me out of that area.
Every 2 seconds.
So travel is going to be quite busy over the next couple of days. AAA, of course, they track all holiday travel. They don't just tow your car when it breaks down. 53.5 million Americans are going to be hitting this road and also flying the friendly skies. So first stop, if you're driving, we spoke to UDOT spokesperson John Gleason. And he tells us what to expect on Utah roads. And I've got more info here, Dave, if you've got questions about like where the worst nightmares are going to be and when over the next few days.
We're expecting traffic to ramp up Wednesday afternoon, and we could expect to see 15-minute delays in the Salt Lake County area on I-15 and about 10-minute delays forecasted for Davis County and Nephi. Yes, if you can avoid traveling between the hours of 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock on Wednesday and then coming back all day on Sunday from 11 o'clock to 7 o'clock especially, though, if you can travel earlier in the morning or later at night, you're going to save yourself some of those headaches.
Don't hit the road on Sunday. Thanks, John.
Leave on Saturday.
Northbound I-15, Cedar City, up to 20-minute delays on Sunday from about 11 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. I got caught when I was coming back from southern Utah last weekend in a call it a traffic jam. It wasn't a traffic. It was caused by an accident. Couple of cars, and then the two accidents were quite a distance apart. It was weird, but that was probably a 30-minute delay. They were moving us through there, but it was slow and go, so I can't imagine how it's going to be over the holiday weekend. Are you driving anywhere?
No, I mean, what's considered driving? Like, I drive down to Salt Lake. That doesn't even cross, you know, like...
Just don't
go across
hit,
my
don't
radar.
Hit northbound I-15 in your neck of the woods in Davis County tomorrow between 3 and 7 p.m. and you'll be okay.
Okay.
It's a 10-minute delay anticipated.
No.
So you're just scooting down to Salt Lake County coming over to my house?
No. Oh, you got turkey? Are you smoking a turkey?
It's none of your business. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
Happy early Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you, and same to you.
Nancy Vollmer, Salt Lake City Airport Director of Communications, on the line with us live. Let's get to the parking issues, because a lot of people will be driving out there wanting to park their cars in long-term parking, maybe even short-term parking. I read the other day in a news report that right now there are 20,000 available spots. Is that the case?
I think we have a few more than that, but the good news is people are traveling, right? And so we saw over the fall break where our parking did reach close to capacity, we were able to open up some backup lots. The good news is that it's looking better now. So we actually aren't expecting to reach capacity. But if there are drivers out there that want to reserve in advance, they can go to our website and reserve parking, and they can also still come out and go to the economy parking lot. I think the key is just that there are going to be more people traveling, so just to allow that extra time.
What happens if it does fill up?
So if it fills up, we have plans to open up some employee parking lots. And then we have shuttles that will take the passengers from those lots to the airport. And we did that over the fall break. And actually, a lot of people had free parking because of that. So it wasn't such a bad deal. But, of course, it's something that we rather not have happen. But like I said, the good news is people are traveling, and so we're seeing our numbers up. And I think that in the past, probably more people have taken public transportation, and so but more people now are driving their cars, I think just because of the pandemic, they're feeling a little bit more comfortable, you know, doing so. But also we have tracks now that is open and going right up to the airport. It's very convenient, and it's a nice option for our passengers as well.
Nancy, not too long ago, I was out at the airport, and as I was making my fourth or fifth lap around, thanks to your Johnny-on-the-spot security there that would not let me park curbside, of course, because of like security measures, I did notice it seemed like at least a dozen, maybe more, cars that were parked along the road leading up to the terminals. And I thought, well, how are they allowed to park there?
Yeah.
Is that legal or illegal parking there that people are taking up?
Yeah, that is not legal parking. So we really encourage those who are picking up passengers to stay in the park and wait lot until the passenger is curbside. And so we have been somewhat lenient up to this point because it is a new airport, so it does take longer to get off your plane, get your baggage, and get to the curb. So someone will hold their party and say, hey, I just landed, I'm at the gate, and they're thinking that they're going to be, you know, at the curb shortly, and that's not the case. So they may end up pulling over along the road. But we really ask people not to do that because it's just not safe. And if you go to the park and wait lot, there are those flight information boards that will provide information about when a flight's going to be landing, and your party can call you, and then you can drive there shortly. So thanks for bringing that up. It is something that we really are going to start kind of clamping down on.
How close are we to capacity? I mean, what's capacity going to look like with all the parking? Is it 30,000? Is it 35,000? How many spots?
Yeah. Well, I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but, you know, the parking garage alone is twice the size as the previous parking garage. And I don't know if you recall in the old airport that parking garage often did close down because it reached capacity.
Yep.
So parking is always an issue at airports, and we have just finished a master plan, and we have alternative parking areas that we will be looking at. So it's something that we do have on our radar and will be expanding in the future.
Nancy, I literally have 10 seconds. How early should people arrive for their flights?
2 hours prior for domestic flights, and then 3 hours for international flights. And that should give you plenty of time to get checked in through security and onto your gate.
Nancy Vollmer, thank you so much for joining us with Salt Lake City Airport Director of Communications. And that is one thing that has really changed in my old age, Debbie. I actually arrive earlier to the airport than I ever have in the past.
I love arriving earlier to the airport because it just... I don't need the anxiety when you roll your bag up there and you realize the line to get through security is 2 miles long. Hey, straight ahead, Dave and I going in-depth on looters and the wild case that's going on in the city of San Francisco.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.